It has been a long week. We have talked about sugar babies at Georgia State. We've remembered Sammy Davis Jr. and looked back at the Women's March. So as we do every Friday, let's take a breath, right? We've gathered a group of smart people to help us kick back, unwind, and think about what the heck happened since Monday. It's time for the break room.
The government totally sucks, you mother hubbard. The government totally sucks.
A government shutdown was 100% avoidable. All because Senate Democrats chose to filibuster a non-controversial funding bill.
I'm a rocket man. Rocket man. Burning out as soon as I'm ever gone.
Joining us in the break room this week, Natalie Pavelski, Vice President of Cater Communications, Greg Williams, mortgage banker and host of the radio show Greg's List. Falguni Sheth is Associate Professor in the Department of Women's, Gender, and Sexuality Studies at Emory University and winner of Longest Title Today. And Hector Fernandez is a professor in the Department of World Languages and Cultures at Georgia State. Welcome to Friday, everyone.
Happy Friday.
Morning.
Morning.
All right. Do you ever admit it? Do you ever talk trash about our president?
Donald Trump, you know, he wants to change the immigration process. He says, why can't we do immigration more like the way I got Melania, by using a catalog?
A New York Times op-ed says, enough is enough. Frank Bruni and former Massachusetts Governor Deval Patrick say, it's time to stop thumping Trump. They say it didn't work for Clinton, and it's just alienating Trump supporters. Do we agree with it? I should mention, Frank, in case you don't know, Deval Patrick is a Democrat. Frank Bruni is a liberal. What do we think?
Liberal.
A liberal.
I say only bash the president when he deserves it, which is often, all right? We have a serial liar and a con man in the White House, and we must not normalize that behavior. Now, in terms of political campaigns, it's a different thing. I do think you do run the risk of alienating Trump supporters who might be getting sick of him if all you do is bash the president. You've got to give him a vision for an alternative if you're talking about running campaigns or the midterm elections.
Yeah, it's very difficult to continue bashing somebody when our economy is growing by leaps and bounds and the effects of tax reform are now coming out. Every time a company
gets my paycheck went down.
Hello, stop.
Every time a company gets a bonus.
Greg, I'm going to stop you there only because that's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is whether we should people should stop trashing Trump.
Well, we should never inhibit freedom of speech. So if people want to continue using him as a punchline, they do that to their own disservice at some level.
I mean, the fact actually, is, you don't have to raise your hand, Hector.
Actually, I agree. I would stop talking about Mr. Trump. I think, you know, criticism and the contingent coverage, it only feeds into his agenda, which is summarized as brand management. I think a little bit of indifference would be a better strategy. I mean,
I'm so
sick and fed up of him, you know. Let's take a break from the guy. It only inflates his ego.
He's a master at getting attention, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So that's literally what we're doing. So in terms of the bashing, I mean, look, if the argument is we shouldn't be bashing because we're alienating his supporters don't listen to those of us who bash anyway, so that's not really a compelling argument. In terms of, you know, whether we want to find some way of not feeding into this kind of maestro entertainment loop, then I would say, yeah, let's just ignore him because that's actually worse than responding to him.
It sounds like whether you support Trump or don't support Trump, everyone agrees stop bashing him.
Yeah. I don't.
Okay, except for Natalie. All right. Speaking of Georgia mothers, a mother here makes her 5-year-old daughter pay rent. She wrote a viral Facebook post that explains she gives the girl $7 and then takes out $1 for rent, $1 for water, $1 for electricity, $1 for cable, and $1 for food, and then the girl keeps $2. The mom says, quote, "This strategy not only prepares your child for the real world, but when they see how much real bills are, they will appreciate you for giving them a huge discount." End quote. What do we think of this?
At the age of 5, seriously, talk about insecurity. That child is going to be at a going to a shrink until she's 70.
Yeah,
I agree.
I would say older, okay, you know, if you're a little older to kind of teach them about money, but at 5, I mean, they've barely discovered cartoons.
She's messing up the kids so bad. I mean, childhood is precious. Only a few fortunate ones can afford to go through childhood without major concerns. They're already being indoctrinated in a number of ways by society, media, culture. I mean, wait till the kid is over in junior high or, you know, teenage years if you want to educate them. But otherwise, if you want to save money, open a bank account, take the kid to the bank, and that's it. Don't make the kids suffer.
I'd hate to see what she does on Halloween night with the candy. That's 80% tax rate. You get 20%, I get 80. That's probably the math breakdown on Halloween.
As the mother of a 5-year-old, I mean, I want my daughter to be really secure in the knowledge that mom and dad are going to keep a roof over her head and the lights on. I think this is sending a very strange message to your child.
Well, and to have your parent actually charge you rent is a very strange thing.
It's much better if a grandparent is charging rent. I mean,
absolutely.
Makes it much
or an aunt or an uncle, but, you know.
All right. Do you take Facebook a little too seriously?
Stan, why won't you be friends with Grandma?
Dad, I just really don't want to pay attention to
Grandma
this thing.
Is in the hospital, and you won't even be friends with her.
All right, Dad, I'll add Grandma as a friend.
That's better. Oh, and I sent you a funny picture and you didn't respond to it.
The CEO of the cloud computing company Salesforce says Facebook is addictive. He says there's plenty of research to back that up. And so it should be regulated like tobacco. What do we think?
Don't regulate it, but it is addictive. Every year people do New Year's resolutions to not be on social media as much. So I think it is addictive, but you have to be able to balance it. In my industry, in my job, I use it a lot to, you know, promote mortgage banking and my podcast. So I always justify it as, oh, I'm actually working when I'm on Facebook. But in reality, I probably do lose a couple of hours every day.
Yeah, I sort of agree with Greg. Yeah. I mean, I've seen people who can't live without Facebook. It's ridiculous. That said, I wouldn't regulate. I would suggest therapy. You need therapy. You know, it's not good for you. It's not good for your family.
Well, I mean, the mere use of tobacco as intended can give you cancer. That's not quite the same boat that Facebook is in. I do think it can be a force for good or a force for ill, but I don't see how government regulation would fix it.
Me either.
Yeah, it's a little strange, although I do agree that, you know, there has to be some kind of mechanism by which to shut it off, but I think private measures. So I guess we're kind of strangely all in agreement on this one. It is, I mean, I actually do these, you know, I kind of get off of Facebook for 6 months, actually up to 3 or 4 years at a time, just because it drives me a little crazy.
You've stepped away from Facebook for 3 years?
Mm-hmm. How
did that feel?
What does a token for that look like? You know,
it was actually.
I know the year
one. Can I just
say,
it was actually so peaceful.
I bet.
And in fact, I mean, I only got back on last year after a hiatus of a couple years. And it's really.
It actually sounds fabulous.
It's actually amazing. The problem, of course, is that, you know, it's actually really hard to kind of. I miss out on what some of the news items are. But I have to tell you, during that last election year, I was so happy not to be on Facebook.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, kind of getting preached to by folks that I taught about the proper way of thinking about politics was enough for me to, like, basically limit my intake to about
'cause there was so much
4 minutes a day. Well, not just the gender. I mean, I'm a political theorist by profession. So I do gender, but people telling me how to think about politics. I was like, okay, we're done. I taught you, and basically you were asleep through my class. So yeah, I don't really feel like I need to listen to you on this one.
It needs to go back to being social media. It's the past year has been, you know, hyperbolic with all the political rhetoric, and it's turned into anti-social media where people have made enemies online and family members. That wasn't too much in jest, the preview that you played, where I'm not going to be friends with them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm actually going to agree with Greg on something. I mean, I've changed how I use Facebook.
Holy cow.
Can you believe it? I use a lot less for, I very rarely post political comments anymore.
Me too.
I share pictures of my cute little 5-year-old.
Yeah, exactly. It's puppies and trees.
It's recipes and cat videos, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but it is, I mean, we'll admit it is a good way to keep up with people
that
Celeste, you wouldn't normally.
Your TED Talk was promoted heavily and you got a lot. I mean, you probably have over 150,000 views now because of that. I mean, I've watched.
Oh, because of Facebook?
Yeah, because you promoted it on
Because it's almost 13 million views.
Yeah. 13 million?
Yeah, I was going to say.
I undershot a little bit. I watched.
Just by a little bit.
I was in the top 150,000 views then. So.
Well, we have a couple minutes to talk about this, and I actually wonder if any of the rest of you have taken a break like Falcony.
No, I have not.
I have.
I have, but only for maybe
a week.
Well,
Greg, you kind of have to, can't, because it's part of your business strategy. Natalie, you've taken a break
I've taken for like a week or so. What I find is, if I find myself just getting irate at every little thing I see posted, I say, okay, Natalie, step away from the Facebook and just ignore it for a bit.
Do you warn people that you're going to take a break so that
they
know?
They don't need to know that. They're not, you know, they want to, look, if there's a cute new video of my daughter, they want to know about that. Mm-hmm. They don't need to know that I'm stepping away.
Do you do people watch all the cute videos?
You would not believe it. She has it's hilarious. I have friends from every phase of my life who keep up with my daughter through Facebook and get mad at me if I don't keep posting.
Did you have any pictures of her in the snow? Because I didn't see any snow pictures this year. I'm kidding.
Hector, have you taken a break from Facebook before?
I take breaks for months. I no longer post anything personal.
Exactly.
On Facebook.
And all I do is personal stuff.
I take that
I don't
back.
Post
I take
anything
back.
Political anymore.
I recently posted my DNA makeup.
Oh. Yeah.
How much Iberian Peninsula?
I don't know. I mean, the European came to 66%.
So my wife was 50% when she did hers.
I'm 20% Indian, okay, Native American.
She was 33% Native. So it was an interesting amalgamation.
Well, now that we got a recreation of Hector's Facebook
23 and me.
I'm always interested in how people go about doing that. So let me put that out to our listeners as well. What's the longest you've ever stayed away from Facebook? And did you announce it? Did you let people know that you were going to be off Facebook so that they would know why you weren't responding to their Facebook posts? I've seen so many people do that. We want to hear from you. You let us know what you think. You know how to reach us. You can call us at 404-500-9457 or find us on Facebook or on Twitter. It's at OST Talk. Well, it is Friday, and what that means is that we are in the break room. Just ahead, what will a world without Elton John sound like? And also, who do we blame for the very short government shutdown? It's coming up. This is On Second Thought. I'm Celeste Headley. This is On Second Thought. We're having some coffee and conversation in the break room. My guests today are Greg Williams, host of the radio show Greg's List, Falguni Sheth of Emory University, Natalie Pavelski of Cater Communications, and Hector Fernandez of Georgia State University. Okay, does the government deserve our trust?
Now let me tell you something about the government. They're blowing up the environment. They're taking all the freaking beautiful animals.
Yeah.
And making them freaking extinct.
Oh, no.
The government totally sucks, you mother trucker. The government totally sucks.
That sounds like Tenacious D. The band, Jack Black's band. Only a third of Americans at this point trust the government to do what is right. And in fact, trust in institutions has dropped by double digits almost across the board. Also, trust in each other has dropped to record lows. A researcher for the marketing firm Edelman says, quote, this is the first time that a massive drop in trust has not been linked to a pressing economic issue or catastrophe, end quote. Should we take this as a bad sign?
Well, I disagree with the premise, and that for a lot of people who used to trust in government, they see Trump's election as a catastrophe. So for them, it's, putting people in charge of government positions, for example, an Environmental Protection Agency chief who doesn't really believe in the mission of that organization, this is, for them, a catastrophe.
But couldn't you have said the same thing about people who thought Obama's election was
a catastrophe? No, but I think the people who opposed Obama were kind of tended to be on the right and kind of were a little suspicious of government to begin with. So I think what you've got now is people are suspicious of government to begin with. We're already in that bucket.
Well, but I mean, it's kind of turned into a self-fulfilling prophecy. Right now, we are seeing these venerable institutions being questioned, and there's a lot of smoke with the FBI and this whole Russian collusion effort that, you know, happened under Obama's watch. That a lot of people say, well, Obama, he expelled 30 ambassadors or whatever, but he he didn't really do enough to expose what was actually going on. So there's a veritable lack of distrust, and it's across the board, not just because of Trump derangement syndrome.
But, I mean, the fact is, isn't that kind of the premise of the Constitution, is that we're not supposed to be trusting our government? I actually think it's not such a bad thing not to trust the state. Why would I trust the FBI or the CIA or the state in general? I mean, I do think that people are paying much more attention to the state.
I love all the anarchists in the room today. It's amazing.
You can be critical of government. You just can't be corrosive to the extent of being, like, destructive or negative, things that sort. And those sort of views have been spread out last few years to an extent that is sort of dangerous. I think we have a pretty decent government. If you travel around the world and you look at other governments, I mean, our government does remarkably well. It's not perfect, but at least we have the liberty to criticize it. But to criticize it, not to destroy it and rip it apart.
It depends on who is speaking. Who has a liberty to criticize it? How many folks are being jailed for insightful speech and the war on terror? That's actually not true. It depends upon who's speaking.
Okay. We just had the second anniversary of one of the largest women's marches ever, and it was another big one. If you watched any of the footage, hundreds of thousands of women just marched. I don't think the First Amendment is under attack right now. I think, in fact, it's being used more than ever, and there is no arresting political prisoners.
The researcher of this piece of research said, the lifeblood of democracy is a common understanding of the facts and information that we can then use as a basis for negotiation and for compromise. When that goes away, the whole foundation of democracy gets shaken. And I think that's what's happening here.
Yeah,
we can't agree on what the facts are right now, and I think that's very corrosive.
Sam Burnham tweets, we are a nation built on mistrust of government. Give us your thoughts.
That's my boy, Sam.
I don't agree with that at all.
Sam and Rome.
Tweet us at OST Talk. And speaking of tweeting, our earlier conversation about taking breaks from social media, Willis P. Wilson says, I've been off all social media since December 10th, 2017. It's been refreshing and amazing. More time interaction with my kids and less Trump talk. Hashtag, it's a win-win. Hashtag, love listening. Hashtag, y'all rock. I do have one quibble with you, Willis. You say you like science, sarcasm, and Twizzlers, and I'm a Red Vines girl, so we may not get along. Anyhow, speaking of government, the government shut down last week for a short time. The legislature couldn't agree on a budget. Republicans and Democrats blamed the other side. Here's Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell.
What we've just witnessed on the floor was a cynical decision by Senate Democrats to shove aside millions of Americans for the sake of irresponsible political games.
Okay, so Democrats say the president's unwillingness to compromise led to the shutdown. You know, here's the thing, I'm going to ask, get your thoughts on here, but here's the thing that struck me as odd. The Republicans, and this is not partisan, this is both parties do this odd stuff, but the Republicans blamed the Democrats for the shutdown, but when the shutdown ended, they said specifically it was the president and the Republicans that ended the shutdown. I don't see logically how that could both of those things could be true.
Well, it has no logic.
It's all about trying to win the PR war. And for the first time with Republicans in power, they actually were not blamed for the government shutdown. I think they did a good job of explaining, you know, their position when they showed who actually voted to continue the continuing resolution. It looked good. And the government was shut down for all of about 6 hours during the business week. It was shut down over the weekend. Right. And unfortunately, that inhibited people from visiting Ebenezer Baptist Church here. So, you know, the Democrats, who is to blame on it? There's dysfunction. The fact that we can't pass a budget without all this raging rhetoric is a problem on both sides of the aisle.
I'm going to quote Mr. Trump from 2013 on his this is part of his criticism of a shutdown back then. He said, leadership, whatever happens, you're responsible. It is his fault.
This is the first time in history where we've had one party in control of both the House and the Senate and the White House, and yet the government has shut down. I mean, if you've got all the levers of control and you can't keep the government running, you've got a problem. I will concede that I don't think either party covered themselves in glory.
That's ignoring the fact that you actually need 60. We still have the filibuster. Mitch McConnell kept that alive, even though he was under pressure to get rid of it and go
from
nuclear. Well, no, and just in general, because Republicans are like, fed up as well. They're like, why can't you get all this stuff done? But they have a filibuster.
They have
which
a precedent. They have the precedent. They have the Congress. But how come you can't manage government?
Okay, we're going to keep
it
civil.
This was also a kind of key political strategy on the part of the Dems, and they caved. I mean, the fact is that they basically helped to end the shutdown by, you know, kind of barely negotiating on one of the key issues that was at stake, the
DACA
and the Dreamers.
It's only a three-week end. We could be back here in 2.5 weeks.
God, isn't that what we need? Yeah. More of the same?
So, and I should mention, we just had a conversation about a little trust in government, and Rabbit tweets to us, we are the government, which...
doesn't feel like it.
Well, that's why we don't trust each other.
Exactly. All right. Let's move on a little bit from politics and talk about something less controversial, like religion.
All right.
Yeah, okay, cool.
A light topic.
Yeah. All right. Female journalists covering the vice president were blocked from viewing Mike Pence's visit to the Western Wall in Jerusalem. That decision most likely was made in order to honor Orthodox Jewish and Muslim separation of the sexes in holy places. That includes the Temple Mount and the Dome of the Rock. So do we think that's proper? When journalists, their job is to cover a political figure, is it proper to segregate them and block their view?
Absolutely not. I mean, period. And in previous visits, this has never been a problem. The journalists have shared a platform across gender. And this is something that's come up time and time again as a former journalist. My first journalism professor was an early woman covering sports. She ran into this kind of issue all the time. Look, all they're doing is doing their jobs. And whether you're a woman or a man, you're there to see what's happening, and you need equal access.
I mean, I agree with that, although in this case, I mean, I think I'm of two minds on this. I mean, it's a private group that is suddenly kind of, has induced this sudden change of policy. I don't agree with it, but I think the jurisdiction matters. If it was the state who was doing it in relation to the press, yeah, I think it would be a real problem.
Yeah, I mean, let's look at some of the other countries that border Israel, like Saudi Arabia, that just now recently allowed women to drive. So let's not have the double standard of how other countries operate. Of course, that standard would never work in the United States, but in other countries, we do end up respecting their, cultural norms.
It does make one wonder why it was a sudden change, which I would like to know the backstory. Yeah. In any case, we're hanging out in the break room. You just heard Greg Williams, host of the podcast Greg's List, also Natalie Pavelski of Cater Communications, Hector Fernandez of Georgia State, and Falguni Sheth of Emory University. All right. Scientists have apparently discovered a way to make 3D holograms appear solid. Filmmakers are already using CGI to bring back deceased characters. Now they're talking about creating holograms of deceased actors that would actually hold a complete role in new movies. Is this cool? Is it creepy? Or
creepy.
Is it
creepy? Absolutely.
Come on, and give the work to living actors.
Yeah,
they
exactly.
need the money more, you know?
Yeah, I can't wait to see them accept the Oscar at the speeches. You know? It's like the best
there no
actor.
No respect for death.
Yeah, you know? Alec Guinness for best actor. But we've been if you guys have seen any of the new Terminator movies, Arnold Schwarzenegger has been dialed back about 30 years in some of them. So I think they've been doing this a lot. And if they actually just, you know, Carrie Fisher, her passing, it's going to hurt the
Well, that
the
was
new
CGI
Star Wars.
That they
Who
used.
Makes
right.
the decisions about which dead actors are going to be used? I mean, this kind of poses all kinds of problems in terms
licensing
and authorial stuff.
It's just disrespectful.
Well, I just said, right? What happened to respect for the dead?
This is creepy and cheap. I mean, because it sounds to me like a resort not to pay the living. I mean, there's plenty of good actors
exactly.
out there. You know, they're willing to work for a nice wage, but they're not willing
to
pay.
There's a great Monty Python skit where he's interviewing a director who claims to have Marilyn Monroe in his film years and years after she died. So if you're a Monty Python fan, it's time to revisit that. In any case, in a completely different vein, it is time to say a totally different kind of goodbye to a beloved musical icon.
And I think it's gonna be a long, long time. Touchdown brings me round again to find. I'm not the man they think I am at home.
I'm a rocket man.
Rocket man, burning out
his fuse. Yeah, we need the lighters.
Nah.
Elton John, of course, singing Rocket Man. Elton John says Rocket Man going back home to home base. His next tour will be his last.
Happily.
So, Really? Do you want to see his last tour?
I've never liked his sound. I mean,
oh my god!
I'm sorry, I've never liked
and
his sound.
I thought
fake
we
news
friends.
Over here.
Okay,
fair.
That's complaints at Hector Fernandez. No.
Hector, I am defriending you right now and unfollowing
aside from
you.
A Latin American rocker that I worship, who I worship. To me, rock has always been led by guitars. So, I mean...
All right, I'm going to put a poll on Twitter. Is Hector Fernandez wrong, or is he really, really, really,
really wrong?
I'm not saying right or wrong. I'm saying my preference. That's quite different. It's my preference, and I'll keep on waiting for David Byrne, Depeche Mode, and perhaps the return of the
Cure.
Right,
okay, you've redeemed yourself.
How wrong is Hector Fernandez on a scale of 1 to 100? I would say 99. You're very wrong. The wife has already... We're going to Def Leppard and Journey on July 1st at SunTrust. And then as soon as this one was announced, I've already started socking away money.
Journey
for
without
tickets.
Steve Perry, right?
They have the Filipino guy now who's a younger Steve Perry.
He's not like Steve Perry at all.
No.
Well, you can actually watch Steve Perry at the Giants stadium.
Yeah, but the voices
so
aren't
we're going. I would guess the tickets for this are going to start at $250 for the cheap seats at SunTrust and then just go up from there. But we're absolutely going. Every Elton John song is a classic.
And Greg's going to get an extra ticket for each of us so we can go with him.
We
wow,
are.
That's awesome.
You guys are going to get the suite that my bank is going to
make sure you get one for Hector.
I mean, you can ask some of my students. They'll go like, Elton who?
Yeah.
Well, they'll say that also about Depeche Mode.
Actually, that redeemed him for me.
Your own personal Jesus is not going to work,
They will actually dig Depeche Mode.
They were in Nashville, actually, last year. Did you get to go see them?
No.
This is devolving into a different kind of conversation. We're talking about Elton John. Of course, Elton John has chosen Atlanta as his home base. So, in a way, he's a hometown guy, right? Yep.
He is. Yeah, and I remember seeing him at a CNN international conference at CNN Center. He did some speaking about the Elton John's AIDS Foundation along with a guy from the CDC and gave a kind of a private concert for about 500 people. It was a really neat event and a lovely memory,
cool.
And I think I'm going to leave my memories of Elton John there.
Mm. Hmm.
Oh, you will not go to the tour?
I don't do a lot of the big concerts lately. I'm sort of saving money for Charlotte's College Fund.
Oh, my
God. I would go, for sure.
All right. We're going to have to end it there because the last topic was going to be Grandma the Clown. All of you out there can look it up because there's not nearly enough time to talk about Grandma the Clown in 2 minutes.
I would say that the statute of limitations should be extended for
this. I agree with her.
All right. The question was, should we extend the statute of limitations for underage pornography? Because Grandma would have been in big trouble if the statute had been extended. She is not. But that's for another time.
She can't be grandmothered in, I guess.
Have you been waiting the whole time?
No, I just really thought of
just
that.
Just to say that?
Because they have grandfathered in, so I did
Yeah, no, we got the
gender.
The joke.
It was a gender neutral joke. Okay.
Boo.
All right, I guess I need to really quickly explain what this is. The 65-year-old performer has been a legend in the circus, has resigned because it was revealed he actually pressured a teenager to pose for pornographic photos. He cannot be prosecuted because the statute of limitations had run out. So let's do a very quick vote. We already heard Falgany. You think statutes should be extended for underage pornography. Greg?
I agree with everybody here about this.
Extended.
Make it 4-4.
Into a liberal or something.
You can give us your vote as well, all of you out there in listener land.
Beat.
Up. Thumbs up or thumbs down on Grandma the Clown. Okay, we are out of time in the break room today. I want to say thank you to everyone. Greg Williams is a mortgage banker, host of the radio show Greg's List. Falgany Sheth, associate professor of the Department of Women's Gender and Sexuality Studies at Emory University. Hector Fernandez is professor in the Department of World Languages and Cultures at Georgia State University. And Nellie Pavelski, vice president of Cater Communications. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Have a great weekend,
y'all. You can continue the fight in the green room. That is our show for today and the week. We want to get your thoughts, though. We talked earlier about the addictiveness of Facebook, and I'm very curious about what you think about this. Do you limit your time on social media? Do you take breaks? Do you think Facebook is addictive? Let us know. Call us at 404-500-9457. We're also on the Twitter. It's at OST Talk. For today, it's on Second Thought from GPB News. I'm Celeste Headley. Have a great weekend.